C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, September 17th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Building a stock portfolio or picking the right investment mix for your 401k takes some knowledge, patience, and a little bit of luck. But not every investment is a winner. And knowing when to let go of an asset before it's too late is also key to financial success. Yet many people have a hard time knowing when to walk away.
The real thing people hate about losing money is that they have to kick themselves and say, you know, how could I have been so stupid? What kind of idiot am I? That's what people hate.
Coming up, WSJ Intelligent Investor columnist Jason Zweig will be here to talk about the mental mistakes people make when investing and steps you can take to avoid falling into those traps. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Picking the right investments is often a numbers game, but for many people, it winds up being a head game, where their emotions take over their decision-making, and poorly thought-out choices can cost them big time. Jason Zweig writes the Wall Street Journal's Intelligent Investor column. He's been looking into the psychology of investing and how investors can keep their emotions in check and protect their portfolio, and he's with me now. Hi, Jason. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, psychologists have studied people's tendency to overvalue certain things. It's called the endowment effect. So what does that tell you about human behavior, and how does that show up in investments?
Decades ago, psychologists and economists found that if you gave people something, and it can be just about anything, a coffee mug, a pen, probably, you know, paper clips, they immediately place a greater value on it than they would if they didn't possess it and were asked to buy it. So, for example, if I give you a coffee mug, you might say it's worth $7. But if I ask you to buy the same mug, you might not be willing to pay more than $3 for it. And we see the exact same thing play out in financial markets, where once people invest in an asset, they don't just own the asset, but they've invested some of themselves in it. And it becomes much harder to let go of it once they own it. And they place a considerably higher value on it after buying it than they would if they didn't own it in the first place.
Okay, but isn't the goal of any investor, whether you're buying huge blocks of shares or shoring up your 401k or trying to pay your kids' college costs, to avoid losing money? So what's getting in the way of what would seem to be a pretty logical thought process?
Well, of course people hate to lose money. Nobody likes a loss. But what you really lose when you lose money is not just dollars or whatever currency you're measuring your investments in. What you also lose is your pride and your sense of status and self-esteem, and also your conviction that you're a really smart, knowledgeable investor. The real thing people hate about losing money is that they have to kick themselves and say, you know, how could I have been so stupid? What kind of idiot am I? That's what people hate. And it's what they hate having to admit. And they'll do almost anything to avoid having to stare that in the face rather than sweep it under the rug.
But we're not just talking about amateur investors that fall into this trap, right? How do even more seasoned investors get caught?
Well, you see it all the time. You know, professional fund managers have been documented as being very reluctant to sell their losing assets. You see it in other areas where the markets have proved a thesis wrong, but people still can't let go of it. You know, there's still plenty of bond investors who have still not accepted the fact that interest rates have been low for almost a decade and a half and show no sign of going up. Lots of gold investors think that gold is a great hedge against inflation when there are reasons to own gold, but that's probably not the best one. And, you know, after 20 years, there's people out there who still think Amazon is an overvalued, wildly overvalued stock that is worth next to nothing. So it can be very hard to let go of a cherished idea.
Now, is the problem of not admitting you're wrong about an investment related to how long someone actually holds it?
The longer you hold on to an investment, the harder it is to let go of your ideas about it. You may have bought an asset for one set of reasons, and the next thing you know, the reasons to believe in it have changed, and maybe your original reasons no longer are even valid, but because you still hold the asset, you probably are going to still cling to the ideas that got you into it in the first place.
You know, it seems like there's a lot more going on here than simply holding onto stock for too long or losing money. It seems very much like an emotional game.
This is a large part of what it means to be human. I mean, nobody likes admitting we were wrong. Three of the hardest words any person can ever say are, "I was wrong." And of course, people are much more willing to say "I was wrong" than to say "I am wrong," which is even harder. So it's about being human, and we all like to think that we're sort of superhuman and we don't make mistakes. I know I'm reluctant to admit mine. You could just ask my wife. And when you invest, it's very important to admit your mistakes and move on, but it can be very difficult.
So Jason, you know, the way emotions get in the way of things, they can have a very real effect on someone's financial well-being. So let's talk about before someone invests or clicks the buy button on a stock trading site. How can they focus their mindset to avoid falling into this trap?
Probably the simplest and best thing you should do, and you can ask this before you buy the asset, ask yourself after you own it. If I did not already own it, would I want to buy more at the current price? And if you wouldn't be willing to buy it if you didn't own it, then you really should ask yourself, why am I holding on to it now that I do own it? And the obvious answer would be, the main reason I'm hanging on to it is I don't want to admit I'm wrong. So if you wouldn't be willing to buy more if you didn't own it in the first place, then you probably shouldn't be willing to hold it now that it has gone down.
But Jason, also, you know, there are myriad sources of research out there about stocks and bonds, how to invest in a 401k. How about people just taking a step back and, you know, with a pencil and paper and their computer, just doing some good old-fashioned research?
Yeah, it's exactly what you should do. And I think the important thing to bear in mind is the attitude you should have toward researching your investment decisions. There's a book out by Julia Galef called The Scout Mindset. And in it, she draws a really useful distinction between two ways that people think. Some people think like soldiers, and other people think like scouts. And what soldiers do is they will defend to the death their position, and they will attack anybody who threatens it. And you really don't want to think like a soldier. You want to think like a scout, somebody who is simply trying to figure out what is in the landscape ahead and, you know, what are the risks, what are the potential rewards, and who has an open mind and uses all their senses to try to figure out what's coming. And if you view contradictory information as a personal threat to you, you will never learn what you may need to know in order to get the best returns from your investments. So it's very important to seek out all kinds of information the way a scout would, rather than being threatened by negative information the way a soldier mindset will be.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig. Jason, thank you so much. It's been great having you on the show.
Thanks, JR. Great to be with you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.